Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. And let me ask all of you HR leaders out there one simple question. And that question is, when was the last time you looked forward to HR reporting? Said no HR leader ever. That's right. We know that most of you HR leaders out there are taking a very manual, painful, time-consuming process by pulling spreadsheets from all your different HR systems and trying to pull it all together to make sense of it. Some of you have told me you spend all your nights and weekends, every quarter, every week, every month, trying to do this. That doesn't make sense. And we know that. That's why we built Employee Cycle, a people dashboard that connects to all the most popular HR systems you're using to be able to automatically pull all your most important and insightful people data into one unified view. That's why we connect with all the systems like Bamboo HR, Namely, Sapling, ADP, TriNet, 15.5, Greenhouse, Office Vibe, Lattice, you name it. We can pull all your data into one place so you can view, track, share, and analyze it all together. Please visit employeecycle.com to sign up for a demo. We would love to show you how we can automate your HR reporting and analytics. But that's enough about me and Employee Cycle, because today we have a great guest. So please help me welcome to the show, Kathy Guthrie. She's the SVP of HR at CoCentral. And today we're going to discuss, how does HR function in a remote world? Kathy, welcome to the podcast. Woo! Go, Kathy!
Thanks so much for having me, Bruce. I'm really happy to be here.
Awesome. And the audience was partly clapping because this is Kathy's first podcast. Awesome. So, Kathy, we're going to kick this thing off the best way we know how, and that's by asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Wow, that is a question. So I took the non-traditional route. I quit college at a very young age, after my first year, got married, and became a secretary. I was an executive assistant for years to CEOs, chairman of the board, and at one point I realized how much of HR work I was actually doing as an office manager. I was leading recruiting, I was taking care of benefits, I was doing investigations. And so one day I said, why not? And so I reached out to a recruiter, and the next thing I knew, I was the HR and facilities manager at a startup called Handango, and that's where my career really took off. It's all history from there.
Nice. And I'm sure the HR community is so much better because you're now here. So, Kathy, we're going to kick right into this topic around HR functioning in a remote world. Before we dive into any specific aspect of this paradigm shift, how are you feeling about the HR role in your HR function in a remote world in general?
You know, it's been a learning experience, Bruce. I've been doing this a long time, and I think I'm pretty good at doing it when we're all together. But this has been a really new challenge. I can't honestly say I'm comfortable with it yet, because I'm not comfortable that each person who is remote is necessarily getting specifically what they need. Right. There's something very different about when you're someone who's a people person, when you have high intuition, you can see that person in the kitchen, you can see that person as they walk through the space, and you can know they're having a good day, they're having a bad day. Wait, they don't look right. And quite honestly, I haven't found a trusted format yet, other than calling individual employees, you know, one by one, to know how are people doing in these kind of chaotic times at best.
You mentioned an area of discomfort in a remote world is your lack of knowing if everyone is okay and getting what they need. That's so interesting, because even pre-COVID, I feel that a lot of employees didn't think that companies either cared or was giving them what they need, even when they were in the office. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, how do you think about that?
Well, I do think that CoCentral is very unique. We have a CEO who really, you know, believes that we can't be anything without our people. And I'm sorry, I really hate that whole people are our number one asset, because so often people find that not to be true. But in our case, what Dan Cornish, our CEO, says often is, you know, you be your best self and the rest will, you know, fall in place. And because he believes that, we spend a lot of time and attention on a very employee-centric approach. What do we have to do to help each individual, after we've hired the right talent, of course, get what they need to be their best selves and to have their best life at home? And if we can marry those, well, then the employee wins, the community wins, the company wins. And so that's the kind of challenge where I have felt that since they've been remote, is I'm having to rethink how do we do that now? Does that answer your question?
It does. It does. And you mentioned that the best way that you found to go about asking employees how are they feeling and seeing if they have what they need is by calling. And I'm sure that there are some HR leaders listening to this thinking, how the hell are you doing that? That sounds impossible. So how many employees do you have? And what does that look like? Are you calling, or did your HR team divide and conquer? Are there managers calling? Are you and managers calling? What does that look like?
That's a very fair question. So we are a very small company, and I realize for some of your larger clients and people populations, they probably would flip out over that. But we're around 110 right now. So again, very small. I do have a very small HR team. I only have one other person on my team who can make these calls. But we also have managers. We've worked through the senior leadership team. So we have executives calling periodically. We have managers who, in addition to their regular one-on-ones, are supposed to be checking in with their people, whether it be at stand-ups or through chat, keeping those lines of communication open, because we do know a lot of people feel very isolated and are struggling right now. We are the executive, the directors, the managers, and then my HR manager and myself. But what we have found is when we do it from an HR perspective, because we don't have as much contact with people, we are actually calling, because we are and do it without the camera. Just let people be themselves and have voice. Maybe they want to talk about what's bothering them. Maybe they don't, but at least they know someone cares enough to reach out to them. We're also sending e-cards. We're sending little gift packages. We just sent for Halloween with two new washable microbial masks, and just notes to say you're important to us, whether you're in the office, out of the office, and we're here for you if you need us.
That's awesome. So when it comes to HR and the new playbook in this new remote world, what are the top three or four areas that you think are the most different for your role and probably for most HR leaders out there in this remote world?
So what's different? Certainly COVID. Just thinking about the anxiety that people are suffering right now. Are we going back into the office? Are we not going back into the office? Am I losing ground? I actually heard an employee say that recently. Am I losing ground now that I'm not visible to leaders, which was something I had not thought of before. Certainly thinking about how we do onboarding has been challenging because like many companies, we have, regardless if you're remote or not, we bring people in typically for at least a week so that they can be immersed in the culture and kind of learn the consensual way. Training and development is very different. We're a very small organization. We don't have a formal learning and development program. So I tend to create those programs and lead them myself. And we do that again face to face. So that's probably the top three right now.
Okay. That was awesome. I want to go into each of those. So the first one you mentioned was around losing ground. I think this is really interesting. And this is a question I've been asking many guests who are HR leaders, because once this started to happen and people were going home, one of the first things I thought was, as companies are getting back to the office, will remote employees that were either already remote or have decided to now be remote because the office will allow that flexibility, feel that they may not get the promotion, or they may not get the praise or the recognition, or they may not get fill in the blank as much as people in person because they're just less visible. And you actually have to be a lot more intentional and go out of your way to actually do that for the people that you can't see. So as you're answering how you're thinking about that, I'm also curious, is your office one of those flexible workspaces now where people are back in the office and partly remote, or is it all one way or the other?
Yeah, that's a good question. So for right now, we are not allowing anyone back in the office. Our statement has been, again, if we're putting people first, we are, our business doesn't require that we be there. It's more of a nice to have than a must have. You know, we've got first responders and folks who have to be there. We're not in that group. So we've told our employees that we are not going back, and that is indefinite until we can safely do so without a lot of interventions. Because, right, a lot of people want to go back to the office because of the culture. But when you have all these interventions, much of that cultural connection is threatened. So for us, we're like, you know what, we're going to wait until we can safely do so otherwise. Now, prior to COVID, we had about 10, 15% of our population was remote. And the great thing that's happened through this is we've all gotten a very clear awakening to what their experience has been like. I think we will be forever changed for that experience. But in answer to your question, when COVID has become manageable, whatever that looks like, fingers crossed it soon, we will allow people to continue being remote. So it will be a very hybrid sort of experience is what I'm expecting.
And in the spirit of thinking about people who may feel slighted or feeling that they're getting less recognition and reward and all those things that comes with potentially being in the office, in the same vein, are there also perks and in-office benefits that you had that really are tailored for the office, but now you'll need to figure out how to offer that to remote employees? So the first thing that comes to mind is a lot of companies that might provide in-office meditation or yoga. And now companies are saying, well, we don't know if we're going to do that internally, but we know that for the people remote, we'll at least give them subscription to Calm or app, some type of meditation app to augment what they would miss for the things that are in office only. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I can't say that we really have thought too much about that just yet. The things that come immediately to mind is the same thing we did with the masks that we sent out in the Halloween package. You know, people are going to need those, whether they're here or there, wherever they are, to keep them safe. We have a very large spend budget on food and meals, you know, and drinks in the office. And so I think that could be something that we end up looking at some point, right? If you're going to have an all-team lunch, well, then we probably need to start thinking about how do we provide that? How do we include those folks who don't have the opportunity to come into the office to participate in that? And I do think all of our happy hours and culture initiatives will be vastly different going forward because of this new perspective we've gained.
Got it. So now let's go to the next one you mentioned around onboarding. What's the biggest difference for you between in-person onboarding versus remote onboarding?
Well, I think it's that face-to-face that you get that doesn't quite come through a screen. That's what's so challenging for me here. When we're doing the same thing within HR for onboarding, we're, you know, in the office, you have a sit down conversation, you're in the same room. We're doing that virtually today. But I do think the challenge is there's something about body language and being able to respond to body language, having someone's full attention versus not knowing what they're looking at below the screen, right? So that's some of that challenge. But I think, too, the difference is when we're onboarding and we're in the office, then, again, you it's not a virtual lunch. You're in a team lunch. You're meeting people in the kitchen. You're meeting people as you walk through the space. You just have that. I think humans need that organic connection. And that's the challenging piece for me.
That makes a lot of sense. And before I go to my next question, I'm thinking and I'm wondering, when you say onboarding, are you really describing the entire now remote hiring process, or are you specifically singling out onboarding?
Well, I mean, everything's different, right? Because normally if we are hiring in the hiring process, we bring people into the office and they get to meet with people who might report into them, people who will be peers, people who might be managers or, you know, senior leadership. And that's very different when you're having a panel conversation on Zoom as opposed to two or three people in a room with you. And so we certainly had to be adaptive to that. But I think the more significant difference is the actual onboarding, bringing someone in, getting them to meet not only their team, but other teams and individual contributors across the organization, being a vital part of our weekly all hands. You know, when you have the Brady Bunch times 10, you know, it's a little different than when you're in a room and you can feel the connection. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And then training and development, you know, it's interesting because as a HR data company, we find that most companies, especially the companies that we typically work with between 50 and 1,000 employees, don't really have a dedicated training person, let alone an LMS, to actually do some type of streamlined and automated training. So one, I'm very curious as to what does your training and development look like, and then how is it different now in this COVID remote world?
Well, if I had to describe it in one word, Bruce, I would say scrappy. It's usually just-in-time delivery. It's something that I see a need in the organization, or I hear from other managers or individual contributors that we need to address. And then I work to pull together something that can help us at least have the conversations. Because to me, that is the biggest part of learning and development, is to make sure people get to voice what those concerns look like, and then how do you help them answer some of those questions so they can change their behavior or learn new skills, whatever it might be. Prior to COVID, I did all of those trainings in person. You know, we bring people in, and manager one-on-one is a good example of that. That was a six-hour course that I taught, and we'd take a break, and we'd talk about it through the day. We did role-playing, et cetera, to help people with the learning process. Well, since COVID, I admit I put it off for a while. And then finally, I just had to break it down into, I reduced the program down to more like 3 hours. And we did 2 1.5-hour sessions. And so I don't feel real good about that, quite honestly. But I had to not keep putting it off because we don't know how long this will be. And learning needs to take place now, not later.
Right. When it comes to learning for your employees, has there been any learning or any thinking about educating your employees on how to deal with the shift from in-office to remote work?
We have a lot of conversations about it, but I can't tell you that we've done anything formal. And I think primarily that's because none of us feel like we're the experts. We talk a lot about how we're doing with it. We provide a lot of opportunities for people to stay connected. We provided, you know, flexible hours. So if people were dealing with different, you know, childcare issues, they could take care of those issues and not feel like they were going to, quote, be in trouble at work. But I can't tell you that we've had any really nice formal things. I wish that we had more, quite frankly. For me, it's a bandwidth issue. And so that's been the challenge.
Got it. And then last question, Kathy. Because you're going through this in real time, like every other HR leader is, and I'm sure the whole community is looking to come together and trying to learn from each other, what have you found to be the most important skill sets and the mindset that you've had to have in order to help your company and workforce navigate through all the craziness of 2020?
Adaptability and tenacity. That's really it. We actually went through a 30% reduced working hours and pay for 15 weeks as COVID first hit, and it was something I'd never seen before, never done before, was really clueless how to begin. But we knew it was the right thing for our company. We knew that that would save jobs and still protect our balance sheet. And so we dove in head first, fearlessly, and my team, because they are also committed, the entire organization got behind it and made it work. So we just have to lead them through the madness one step at a time.
Kathy, thank you so much for diving into this topic. We like to cover as many strategic topics and have as many strategic conversations about how HR can become better as a role. So this was super helpful. And I'm sure a lot of listeners have been hanging on to every word that you've been saying, because I know I have, and this has been very insightful for me. So thanks for being such a thoughtful, candid, and authentic guest on our show. Really appreciate it. Woo! Go Kathy! So where can people find you and CoCentral online?
Well, you can find me at cguthrie@cocentral.com. You can find CoCentral at www.cocentral.com. I'm also on LinkedIn, and I'd love to hear from anyone who'd like to chat about anything we talked about today.
Awesome. And we'll definitely include all your contact info in the show notes. So for everyone out there listening, if you enjoyed this interview as much as Kathy and I did making it, please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes, because it shows that we're providing great content. And who doesn't want to be told that? It's HR. We want to be recognized here. Also, if this is the very first time you're listening to this episode or our interview, and this is because you're either already a super fan of Kathy and you just had to hear what she was going to say, or you thought that this topic was really compelling, but now you're hungry for more episodes, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other major podcast platforms. And last but not least, all of you super awesome HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.